The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 26. A brief repetition of the preceding chapter, and of the reverence which should be paid to priests, whether they are good or bad. I have shown you, dearest daughter, a sample of the excellence of good priests, for what I have shown you is only a sample of what that excellence really is. And I have told you of the dignity in which I have placed them, having elected them for my ministers, on account of which dignity and authority I do not wish them to be punished by the hand of seculars on account of any personal defect, for those who punish them offend me miserably. But I wish seculars to hold them in due reverence, not for their own sakes, as I have said, but for mine, by reason of the authority which I have given them. Wherefore this reverence should never diminish in the case of priests whose virtue grows weak, any more than in the case of those virtuous ones of whose goodness I have spoken to you. For all alike have been appointed ministers of the sun, the star, that is, of the body and blood of my son, and of the other sacraments. This dignity belongs to good and bad alike. All have the sun, the star, to administer, as has been said. And perfect priests are themselves in a condition of light, that is to say, they illuminate and warm their neighbors through their love. And with this heat, they cause virtues to spring up and bear fruit in the souls of their subjects. I have appointed them to be, in very truth, your guardian angels, to protect you, to inspire your hearts with good thoughts by their holy prayers, and to teach you my doctrine reflected in the mirror of their life, and to serve you by administering to you the holy sacraments, thus serving you, watching over you, and inspiring you with good and holy thoughts, as does an angel. See, then, that besides the dignity to which I have appointed them, how worthy they are of being loved, when they also possess the adornment of virtue, as did those of whom I spoke to you, which are all bound and obliged to possess, and in what great reverence you should hold them. For they are my beloved children, and shine each like a sun in the mystical body of the Holy Church, by their virtues. For every virtuous man is worthy of love, and these all the more, by reason of the ministry which I have placed in their hands. You should love them, therefore, by reason of the virtue and dignity of the sacrament. And by reason of that very virtue and dignity, you should hate the defects of those who live miserably in sin. But not on that account appoint yourselves their judges, which I forbid, because they are my Christ's, and you ought to love and reverence the authority which I have given them. You know well that if a filthy and badly dressed person brought you a great treasure from which you obtained life, you would not hate the bearer, however ragged and filthy he might be, through love of the treasure and of the Lord who sent it to you. His state would indeed displease you, and you would be anxious, through love of his master, that he should be cleansed from his foulness and properly clothed. This, then, is your duty according to the demands of charity, and thus I wish you to act with regard to such badly ordered priests, who, themselves filthy and clothed in garments ragged with vice through their separation from my love, still bring you great treasures, that is to say, the sacraments of the Holy Church, from which you obtain the life of grace, receiving them worthily, in spite of the great defects there may be in them, through love of me, the eternal God, who send them to you, and through love of that life of grace which you receive from the great treasure by which they administer you to you the whole of God and the whole of man, that is to say, the body and blood of my Son united to my divine nature. Their sins indeed should displease you, and you should hate them, and strive with love and holy prayer to reclothe them, washing away their foulness with your tears. That is to say, that you should offer them before me with tears and great desire, that I may reclothe them in my goodness with the garment of charity. Know well that I wish to do them grace, if only they will dispose themselves to receive it. And I wish you to pray for it, for it is not according to my will that they should administer to you the Son, being themselves in darkness, nor that they should be stripped of the garment of virtue, foully living in dishonor. On the contrary, I have given them to you, and appointed them to be earthly angels and sons, as I have said. It not being my will that they should be in this state, you should pray for them, and not judge them, leaving their judgment to me. And I, moved by your prayers, will do them mercy, if they will only receive it. But if they do not correct their life, their dignity will be the cause of their ruin. For if they do not accept the breath of my mercy, I, the supreme judge, shall terribly condemn them at their last extremity, and they will be sent to the eternal fire. Of the difference between the death of a just man and that of a sinner, and first, of the death of a just man. Having told you how the world and the devils accuse these wretches, which is indeed the truth, I wish to speak to you in more detail on this point, so that you may have greater compassion on these poor wretches, telling you how different are the struggles of the soul of a just man to those of a sinner, and how different are their deaths, and how the peace of the just man's death is greater or less according to the perfection of his soul. For I wish you to know that all the sufferings which rational creatures endure depend on their will, because if their will were in accordance with mine, they would endure no suffering. Not that they would have no labors on that account, but because their labors would cause no suffering to a will which gladly endures them, seeing that they are ordained by my will. Such men as these wage war with the world, the devil, and their own sensuality through holy hatred of themselves. Wherefore, when they come to the point of death, they die peacefully, because they have vanquished their enemies during their life. The world cannot accuse such a man, because he saw through its deceptions and therefore renounced it with all its delights. His sensual fragility and his body do not accuse him, because he bounds sensuality, like a slave, with the rein of reason, macerating his flesh with penance, with watchings, and with humble and continual prayer. The will of his senses he slew with hatred and dislike of vice, and with love of virtue. He has entirely lost all tenderness for his body, which tenderness and love between the soul and the body makes death seem difficult. And on account of it, man naturally fears death. But since the virtue of a just and perfect man transcends nature, extinguishing his natural fear and overcoming it with holy hatred of himself and desire of arriving at his last end, his natural tenderness cannot make war on him, and his conscience remains at peace. For during his life, his conscience kept a good guard, warning him when enemies were coming to attack the city of his soul, like a watchdog which stands at the door, and when it sees enemies, warns the guards by its barking. For in this way, the dog of conscience warns the sentry of reason. And the reason, together with the free will, know by the light of the intellect whether the stranger be friend or enemy. To a friend, that is to say, to virtue and holy thoughts, he gave his delighted love, receiving and using these with great solicitude. To an enemy, that is to say, to vice and wicked thoughts, he gave hatred and displeasure. And with the knife of hatred of self and love of me, and with the light of reason and the hand of free will, he struck his enemies, so that at the point of death, His conscience, having been a faithful guardian, does not gnaw him, but remains in peace. It is true that a just soul, through humility, and because at the moment of death she realizes better the value of time and the jewels of virtue, reproves herself, seeming to herself to have used her time but little. But this is not an afflictive pain, but rather profitable, for the soul, recollected in herself, is caused by it to throw herself before the blood of the humble and immaculate Lamb, my Son. The just man does not turn his head to admire his past virtues, because he neither can nor will hope in his own virtues, but only in the blood in which he has found mercy. And as he lived in the memory of that blood, so in death he is inebriated and drowned in the same. How is it that the devils cannot reprove him of sin? Because during his life he conquered their malice with wisdom. Yet they come round him to see if they can acquire anything, and appear in horrible shapes in order to frighten him with hideous aspects, and many diverse phantasms. But the poison of sin not being in his soul, their aspect causes him no terror or fear, as it would do to another who had lived wickedly in the world. Wherefore the devils, seeing that the soul has entered into the blood with ardent love, cannot endure the sight, but stand afar off, shooting their arrows. But their war and their shouts cannot hurt that soul who is already beginning to taste eternal life, as I said to you in another place. For with the eye of the intellect, illuminated by the pupil of the holy faith, she sees me, the infinite and eternal good, whom she hopes to obtain by grace, not as her due, but by virtue of Jesus Christ my Son. Wherefore, opening the arms of hope, and seizing him with the hands of love, she seems to enter into his possession before she actually does so, in the way which I have narrated to you in another place. Passing suddenly, drowned in the blood, by the narrow door of the word, she reaches me, the sea Pacific. For sea and door are united together, I and the truth, my only begotten Son, being one and the same thing. What joy such a soul receives who sees herself so sweetly arrived at this pass! For in truth she tastes the happiness of the angelic nature. This joy is received by all those who pass in this sweet manner, but to a far greater extent by my ministers, of whom I spoke to you, who have lived like angels. For in this life have they lived with greater knowledge, and with greater hunger for the salvation of souls. I do not speak only of the light of virtue which all can have in general, but of the supernatural light which these men possessed over and above the light of virtuous living, the light, that is, of holy knowledge, by which knowledge they knew more of my truth. And he that knows more loves me more, and he who loves me more receives more. Your reward is measured according to the measure of your love. And if you should ask me whether one who has no science, no knowledge, can attain to this love, I should reply, yes, it is possible that he may attain to it, but an individual case does not make a general law, and I always discourse to you in general. They also receive greater dignity on account of their priesthood, because they have personally received the office of eating souls in my honor. For just as everyone has the office of remaining in charity with his neighbor, to them is given the office of administering the blood and of governing souls. Wherefore, if they do this solicitously and with love of virtue, they receive, as has been said, more than the others. Oh, how happy are their souls when they come to the extremity of death! For they have been the defenders and preachers of the faith to their neighbor. This faith they have incarnated in their very marrow, and with it they see their place of repose in me. The hope with which they have lived, confiding in my providence and losing all trust in themselves, in that they did not hope in their own knowledge, and having lost hope in themselves, placed no inordinate love in any fellow creature or in any created thing, having lived in voluntary poverty, it causes them now with great delight to lift their confidence towards me. Their heart, which was a vessel of love inscribed by their ardent charity with my name, they showed forth with the example of their good and holy life, and by the doctrine of their words to their neighbor. This heart then arises and seizes me, who am its end, with ineffable love, restoring to me the pearl of justice which it always carried before it, doing justice to all, and discreetly rendering to each his due. Wherefore this man renders to me justice with true humility, and renders glory and praise to my name, because he refers to me the grace of having been able to run his course with a pure and holy conscience. And with himself he is indignant, deeming himself unworthy of receiving such grace. His conscience gives good testimony of him to me, and I justly give him the crown of justice, adorned with the pearls of the virtues, that is, of the fruit which love has drawn from the virtues. O earthly angel, happy you are in that you have not been ungrateful for the benefits received from me, and have not been negligent or ignorant, but have solicitously opened your eye by the true light, and kept it on your subjects, and have faithfully and manfully followed the doctrine of the Good Shepherd, the sweet Christ Jesus, my only begotten Son. Wherefore you are really now passing through him, the door, bathed and drowned in his blood, with your troop of lambs, of whom you have brought many by your holy doctrine and example to eternal life, and have left many behind you in a state of grace. Oh, dearest daughter, to such as these the vision of the devils can do no harm, because of the vision which they have of me, which they see by faith and hold by love. The darkness and terrible aspect of the demons do not give them trouble or any fear, because in them is not the poison of sin. There is no servile fear in them, but holy fear. Wherefore they do not fear the demons' deception, because with supernatural light and with the light of Holy Scripture they know them, so that they do not cause them darkness or disquietude. So thus they gloriously pass, bathed in the blood, with hunger for the salvation of souls, all on fire with love for the neighbor, having passed through the door of the Word and entered into me. And by my goodness each one is arranged in his place, and to each one is measured of the affection of love, according as he has measured to me.